Mark chapter number 14. I love that last phrase of that song that dealing with the love of Christ, that it demands my life, my all. Demands it. Aren't you thankful for the love of God? Mark chapter number 14. If you found it, let's stand together. Begin reading, looking at the beginning of the trial of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 14, verse number 53. Bible says, "And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. And Peter followed afar off, even into the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. And the chief priests and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death, and found none. For many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. And there arose certain and bear false witness against him, saying, 'We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands.' But neither so did their witness agree together. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, 'Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witnesses answer thee?' But he held his peace and answered nothing against the high priest, and asked him, and said unto him, 'Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?' And Jesus said, 'I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, and coming in the clouds of heaven.' Then the high priest rent his clothes and saith, What need we any further witnesses?'" I want to come back and look at verse number 54. We have the false trial, the false witnesses, the false accusations against the Lord Jesus Christ. After he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane and they led him away, it says, "And Peter followed him afar off." Now, I was looking at that phrase, "followed him afar off." And I want to share just a few thoughts out of Peter's life, really in this passage of Scripture. Just deal with the subject matter on fringe Christianity. Fringe Christianity. Let's have a word of prayer, then you can be seated. Father, we love you. Thank you again for what you did in our hearts this morning. Lord, I pray that you do it afresh and anew. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to us. May thy will be done. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And Peter followed him afar off. It's also recorded, this exact same account, back in Matthew 26, verse number 58, says that Peter followed afar off. Luke 22 and verse number 54, the same account, says that Peter followed afar off. We know that previously in the ministry and life of the Apostle Peter, that at one point in his ministry with Christ, he was actually part of what we call today the inner circle, the inner three, Peter, James, and John. They were the ones up there with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. They were the ones that got to see Jesus in all his glory. They're the ones that got to see the glorified Moses and Elijah as they appeared up there on the mount. Got to see great things. This is the same one that stood up and Jesus told him about the church that Jesus was going to build. He's the same one that said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He's the one that here in just a few more weeks he would be preaching on the day of Pentecost. But we see him here in Mark chapter 14 and also recorded Matthew 26 and Luke 22 that he was now following Jesus afar off. And we know that this is a physical following of the Lord Jesus Christ, that physically he was following a great distance, afar off, enough just to be able to keep an eye on him, to be able to see where they were taking him, but not close enough to be there as a true witness. And I look at what took place here in this passage of Scripture with a physical following afar off. And I notice some same application that can come to us in 2019 of spiritually following afar off. You say, well, can we spiritually follow afar off? That's where I think it's called fringe Christianity. It would be on the outskirts of wanting to know enough of what's going on, but don't make me get involved. And don't make me get so close that now I'm responsible for that. There's some physical things that took place with the Apostle Peter during this encounter that I believe we can apply to our lives. And if we're not careful, listen, one day we may be saying, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," and a matter of a few weeks later saying, "I don't even know the man." Same one. You say, what happened in between there? We read that he was following afar off. You say, yeah, but that could have cost him his life. Yeah, and we'll look at that here in a little while. First of all, I want you to see when we fall into the danger of following afar off, this fringe Christianity, and I don't know, I believe, can I be honest with you? I'm going to anyway. There is going to come a dividing time in the Christians of America. And we would put it this way, instead of saying whether we're on the fringe or not, you're either in or you're out. Now, I just preached on I enjoy the freedoms that we have here in America. But I believe every one of us would have to acknowledge that what has taken place across our nation at some point because of a minority across our country, at some point, the very things that we stand for is going to be said, you cannot preach it, you cannot say it, and do not try to convert anybody out publicly. I believe it's going to come there. Then what do? When they say you're not supposed to go to church, can I say this? The fringes are always the first ones to fall off. Because it's not convenient. There may come a day, and I will praise God. Listen, I took a picture out here yesterday morning, and I praise the Lord for it. I had Crystal. I said, I don't know how to do this. Can you put the before picture and the after picture together? And so from 3 years ago, I had her put the picture looking at the front of this building from the road on top, and then the picture from yesterday to be able to see the before and after. And I praise the Lord for it. I'll thank God. Every time I walk in here, I thank God for great facilities. I praise the Lord for padded chairs. But what are we going to do if it comes to the point and they say, hey, you can't gather publicly like that? Are you willing to come to my house? Are you willing to go meet in a park somewhere? You willing to go out in the woods somewhere? Now listen, what was taking place with Peter is when the rubber met the road and they came and arrested their Savior. And it's no mistake that we have recorded that Peter was following afar off. And I want to throw out just a few warnings here about fringe Christianity. First of all, the crowd that's on the fringe. Can I say that is not where Peter found the most devoted Christians to be able to hang out with? In fact, they were the ones standing outside the high priest's house that were calling in witnesses, and then we have those that were coming in, they're coming out recognizing Peter, and this crowd that was gathered around, listen, they were not spurring Peter to walk with God. And as soon as we as Bible believers, listen, we start saying, I can hang out on the fringe. I want to be committed, but not fully committed. Yes, that's my church people over there, but that's not my crowd. And can I say, when we start looking at the crowd, at some point on fringe Christianity, we're going to have to make a decision. We are either with God's people or we're with the world's people. And where Peter found himself during the trial of the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, he was not, even though he was the one that said, "Lord, I will die for you." He was the one standing on the outside. You say, "Yeah, but where was everybody else?" Listen, we're not comparing Peter to everybody else where they were. We're looking at what the scriptures say, where it says that Peter followed afar off and the crowd he ended up hanging out with. Now, can I say there is a big problem spiritually that if you or I enjoy being with the world's people more than we enjoy being with God's people, there's something wrong spiritually. They're not pointing to Christ. The conversations are not centered around the Word of God. Now listen, I do believe this. I believe Jesus was a friend of sinners. I believe it. He sat down and he ate with publicans and sinners. The Bible tells us that. But I guarantee you, every conversation got pointed towards himself as the Savior. I understand we have acquaintances, we have friends that are outside the church arena. But can I say our number one desire ought not to be with the people and the things of this world. It ought to be with God's people and with God's things and His priority in our lives. And we start getting around the wrong crowd. Listen, we always preach our young people, don't we? We always preach to the young people. You better watch out for your peer pressure. It'll probably be preached this week at junior camp. It'll be preached at teen camp. You better watch out who you're hanging around with. And that's just not a physical thing, Brother Hebert. But now it's amazing how many friends people have, and they've never even met them before. They're friends on Facebook. I'm thinking, I got more friends today than I've ever had in my life. But it's a bunch of fringe Christianity, and we can't listen. Start taking a stand for God on there and see how many friends hanging around. Start pointing everything to Christ and then see how many want to stay around and be your friend. I understand we have friends and acquaintances outside this church, and listen, I've got people that I'll contact. My number one goal, listen, is not to have bosom buddies outside this church except for the express purpose. I'm trying to get them the gospel. Hey, listen, I had someone that I started witnessing to them over here at the Shell station. And I tried to, they had their pontoon boat. They were pulling with their truck. And I said, can I ask you a stupid question? I said, it's what people ask. They got a boat being pulled by the truck. I said, "You going to the lake?" I said, stupid questions that people ask. They said, "Well, you're the first one to do it. We just picked it up. We haven't even put it in the water." They said, he said, "You want to go with us?" I said, "Listen, I said, you come to a Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, I'm preaching right next door." I said, "We'll set something up. I'll go out on the boat with you." Not during church time, though. Was able to give them a gospel tract. Listen, better be careful hanging out on the fringe and just saying, that crowd you start getting around with outside of here. Let me ask you, every acquaintance, I'm not talking about you say we got work. I understand some are in some wicked situations. You have to listen to wicked things on construction sites and everything on a daily basis. I understand that. I'm talking about in your leisure time. Do we choose to be influenced by those things of the world? Or do we look for opportunities to hang around with God's people? Can I say, when we hang around with God's people, we ought to be encouraging to each other. We ought to be uplifting. It's a sad day when another Christian would say, "You know, I'd rather be around God's people. They don't beat me down every time I see them." It ought to be an encouraging time we get around. I'm not talking about when preaching takes place and we start finding out that we got sin in our lives and we need to get it right. I'm talking about I'd rather be around God's people than the world's people. I don't want to get out on the fringe. Listen, those people are not a good influence. I preached last night at the women's prison. I couldn't wait to get up and preach. We were taking some prayer requests. We sung a few songs. I said, it's preaching time. I'm going through the life of Moses, where Pharaoh said in the plagues, he said, "It is enough." And I thought, When enough's not enough. He said it, but then he said he wanted to go for three more plagues. And I said, you know, at some point, we ought to get so sick and tired of the crowd of this world that we ought to say, listen, enough's enough. Yeah. And we preach it to our young people, but can I say this? We as adults are just as guilty of it. We want our church life and we want our Christian life to be compartmentalized over here, and then we want the rest of our life to be able to be over here. Can I say, that's not how it works with God. Our life ought to be a Christian life no matter where we're at, no matter what environment we're in, no matter what crowd we're around. I wonder how many they would have been warming their hands around that fire barrel if Peter would have stood there and started preaching that message he preached a few weeks later at the day of Pentecost. You say, I don't want to run them all off. I'm not talking about being rude. I am talking about being truthful. They ought to know that we love them by giving the gospel. But listen, this fringe Christianity, they're the first ones that's going to drop off. And hear persecution, and this is ultimate persecution, preparing to take the life of our Savior. I wonder if God's telling us about Peter because he's the one that said and put his foot in his mouth, opened his big mouth, and said, I'm with you, I'll die with you. Wonder if that's why we're recorded where Peter's at the time. Listen, if it can happen to Peter getting around the wrong crowd, it can happen to each and every one of us. Can I say when we're fringe Christianity, we'll be more concerned about the crowd. Second of all, we'll be more concerned about our personal comfort. Well, don't make it uneasy on me. Since when in history has Christianity been convenient? It hasn't. I know we just preached this morning, distracted by freedom. Peter found a place. Now listen, Peter found a place. He's gathered around with that crowd. And he's warming his hands around that barrel. I want to make sure to get warm. Now listen, just a few days later, God gave him exactly what he was looking for in the world, too. Do you remember when Peter said in John 21, I go a-fishing, the other disciples go with him. Nothing wrong with going fishing. Jesus appears right there on the shore. Have you caught anything? No. Cast your net on the right side of the boat. They cast it. Great draw to fish. Jesus calls him in. Guess what he had there? Fish on the coals of fire. You know what they were able to do? I guarantee you the first thing, if they were having to warm their hands a few days earlier, I guarantee you they were still having to warm their hands after being out fishing all night long on the Sea of Galilee. I believe the first thing they probably did is come in and start warming their hands up right there. I wonder if Peter remembered. A few days earlier, I was warming my hands with the wrong crowd. Worried about his own comfort. You say, well, he had to warm his hands up, but the alternative would have been standing in there with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, every one of us, including myself, would love to be so bold to be able to say, if they walked in that door right now and said, you choose Jesus or you choose your life. We've heard the accounts of around this world that they walk into a church in a closed country and they put that Bible down here in front and tell every one of them in the church to come by and spit upon it. And I personally heard the account of one young lady that walked up, knelt down, started wiping that spit off the Bible with her hair. That was the last action she did when they put a bullet through the back of her head. Now listen, this fringe Christianity, it's not going to cut it if we're more concerned about our comfort and making sure that everything's just convenient for us. I mean, I was asked one time, we have our 9 o'clock service, our 10 o'clock service, our 12 o'clock service. Someone came up and said, you think you could do something around 4 o'clock for me? thinking, I'm sorry. Just trying to make it as convenient as we can. And I'm thinking, we're in America. Listen, we live in a convenient society. Listen, I got out of the prison last night. I walked back home. I was so hungry. I didn't have to wait an hour and a half for my wife to cook a meal. She'd already thrown some chicken tenders in the oven. Unbreaded barbecue sauce and everything. I pulled a couple out of the refrigerator, sprinkled some pre-shredded cheese on top of it, stuck it in the microwave for a minute and a half, popped it out and ate. Convenience. Now, can I say this? If I would have gone home and Crystal said, you need to pull the chicken out of the freezer, you need to thaw it out, I would have said, forget it, I'm going to bed. Because it wasn't convenient. And I thought, a lot of times we treat Christianity the exact same way. And we're more worried about comfort than we are. You say, but it would have cost Peter his life if he would have stepped up. Listen, this is the same man less than a couple hours earlier that drew a sword and cut a man's ear off. That could have cost him his life. And within a couple hours, he's out here saying, I don't even know the guy. He's warming his hands with the wrong crowd. It was no longer convenient for him to be associated with the man that's on trial. How many have ever had friends like that? Boy, they're friends when everything's going great, isn't it? But all of a sudden, hey, it's not convenient for me to be your friend anymore. I ask all the drunks that are sitting in prison, hey, where's all your drinking buddies now? Not a one of them's come to visit. Where's all your drugging buddies now? Not a one of them there. It's no longer convenient. And I thought, when's the last time that our walk with God actually inconvenienced us? I'm not just saying I didn't want to go to church. I'm talking about it inconvenienced us. And then at the close of it, we see the compromise. The same man, you come down, look at what the Bible says in verse number 67, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, and thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth. Can I say this? That statement, by the time you get over to the book of Acts, it has been preached over and over and over that it was said they were ignorant and unlearned men, but they knew that they'd been with Jesus. Over in the book of Acts, Brother Jackson, that's a spiritual compliment that was said to Peter. But here in Mark chapter number 14, they said, hey, you've been with him. Can I say this? If someone walked up to me and said, I can tell you've been with Jesus, I'd hope I'd take that as a compliment. I think every preacher would, okay? I think every Christian, when Moses came down off the mountain and his face shone with the glory because he'd seen the Lord, I think it was a compliment, not in a prideful way. But here it's said about Peter. I wonder if when it was said in the book of Acts, if Peter's mind went back to right here and said the last time someone said, you've been with Jesus. But here he denied it. Verse 68 says, but he denied saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, this is one of them. Now it's not just to Peter, but it's the crowd that's around. Hey, he's been with Jesus. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them. Boy, we'd take that as a compliment today. For thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. Following afar off. Can I say, before you know it, you follow afar off, fringe Christianity, just hanging out on the edge. Listen, I want to be there, but I'm not committed. I want to be there, but don't count on me. Jesus, listen, I'm with you, but I'll be out there. I've got your back. Yeah, way back. I'm behind you. Way behind you. And before you know it, hanging out on the fringe, you'll be doing, saying things that you never thought you'd be saying and doing either. I guarantee if you would ask Peter, because Jesus told him, you'll deny me three times. Imagine what that said to Peter. Lord, I'll go with you till death. I'll die with you. I don't believe it's a mistake that we're told about Peter following afar off. And he got around the wrong crowd afar off. You say, but nobody else was around. Jesus was there. And can I say this? The closer we get to Jesus, the less we'll be around that wrong crowd. The closer we get to Jesus, listen, it is going to inconvenience us. It's not going to be all about physical comfort. It's not going to be about what pleases me. The closer we get to Jesus, I'll just say it here, the less cussing and compromising will take place too. I love it when someone gets saved and gives their heart and life, everything about them over to the Lord, and then even what starts to come out of their mouth, they're like, I ought not to be saying that. And you didn't have to correct them one bit on it. But just that Holy Spirit of God is saying, listen, the closer you get to Him, maybe less cussing, less compromise. I wonder if spiritually I understand it's a Sunday afternoon crowd. You say, we're the committed ones. I ought to preach it on Thursday night. This ought to be a Sunday morning. Sometimes we just go through our religious duties and we're just hanging out on the fringe. But we just haven't given God all of us. We just haven't said, God, I'm all in. Now, can I say, when they crucified Peter, history tells us they crucified him upside down. And guess what? He was all in. He was all in. You say, that's not very encouraging. No, it wasn't comfortable. I believe somewhere around John 21, when Peter called him out, when Jesus called him out and told him what to do, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, gave him something to do, I believe things got right in Peter's hand. You know what I believe Peter said from that point on? I'm all in. I'm not out here on the fringe. I'm all in. Who was the one to jump up, start preaching in Acts chapter 2? Peter. Who was the one God used? Take the gospel to Cornelius. Peter. You say, that loser? That failure? Yeah. He went from following afar off. I don't believe he could have gotten any closer. He was all in. Let me ask you, what areas of our lives are they just fringe Christianity? And maybe you can identify it because of who you'd prefer to be around. You ever heard the statement, birds of a feather flock together? It's true. Give some bad attitudes, they'll always find each other. It'll happen at camp, all over the place. You watch, you get 150, 200 teenagers in one place, and I guarantee you, all with a bad attitude are going to find each other within about 15 minutes. Boy, we've got to be so careful, this fringe Christianity, you get around the wrong crowd. You may be able to identify it and say, hey, look who I'm hanging around with. I'm just hanging out on the fringe. Maybe we as adults, we need to be saying, am I in this for my comfort? As long as Christianity's convenient for me, then I'm in. But as soon as it gets inconvenient, don't demand too much of me, okay? As soon as it gets inconvenient, I'll be back out on the fringe. And maybe there's just some that it's led to compromise, and you're doing things, saying things, hanging around with people that you never thought you would. Can I say the joy is conviction of the Lord can come? Peter went out and wept bitterly. I believe got things right with the Lord, and God used him in a great way and said, I'm all in. I'm all in. Let's not hang out on the fringe. Haven't been able to get this thought off my heart. Warming himself at the fire, but be careful who you're warming your hands with. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you've done in our lives. Lord, I just pray spiritually we'd be all in. We're not following afar off. We're not just at the distance to be able to see and to know what's going on, but we're part of what's going on. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to live for you. Lord, I'm not sure how much the window of freedom that we have, but Lord, I want to be all in. Lord, until I see you face to face, help us not to hang out on the fringe. Thank you for your love to us now, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let me share a few thoughts with you.